Transformation is the theme here for our worship this month. Transformation is the product of both desire and effort, and it can take time. You are about to hear the story of what is now called the Iliff Book. It's a true story that encompasses some of the worst of human behavior and some of the best of human behavior. It comprises atrocities and cover-ups and attempts to finally reconcile. I will tell you this story supported by some short video clips from two documentaries produced by Rocky Mountain Public Broadcasting, produced in just the past couple of years. The story itself, though, has taken 245 years. So far, it's not yet done. The small parts that I've played in this story have spanned the last 50 years. Back in 1971, when my wife and I had both graduated from college in Boston, we packed everything we owned into our Volkswagen bus and drove it out to Denver, Colorado for grad school. I began studies at the Iliff School of Theology, and Alice took a teaching job. Every day, I would spend time in the library at the seminary. I was lucky enough to get one of the limited number of study carrels that existed in the lower level of the school's library, and I became the media assistant, a paid student job at the school, and that also gave me a workplace in the library. So, in other words, I was there a lot. And every day, several times, I would pass a display case that showed off books that were rare or of special interest. One of the books was a history of Christianity. It wasn't the book itself that caused it to have a place of honor in the display case. It was the cover. A 3x5 card placed in front of the book explained it, and here's what the card said. This Latin church history book, written by Johann Lorenz von Meinheim in 1722, is bound in an American Indian skin. It said the Indian was killed in hand-to-hand combat by General David Morgan of Morgantown, West Virginia, April 1, 1779.
He had his skin flayed so that it could be some sort of a trophy or a treasure. And then somehow this book on the history of Christianity came along, and there was some decision made that it was a great idea to bind the book in the skin of this Lenape victim. The book was, you know, held by the Morgan family, and it evidently was enough of a treasure that it was kind of showed around and, you know, bragged about. And so the book was passed from David Morgan, as I understand the history, to a friend of his, Dr. William Barnes.
Well, this book was so important as a trophy, as a sacred relic of triumph over Indians. Never mind that it was murder. Barnes kept it with him through 40 years of ministry in the Ohio Valley until 1890, when he decided to move to Colorado. Barnes decides to give this treasure to the new school, and they kept it under display for 81 years. Iliff kept this treasure as a holy relic, a triumphant trophy of Christian triumph over Indian peoples in Indian lands. That's how it got there.
To be clear, the book was bound in the skin of a Lenape Indian man. The account of the killing, April 1779, is described in an 1846 book, the title of which is Early History of Western Pennsylvania and of the West and of Western Expeditions and Campaigns, written by Daniel Kaufman and William Hickok, likely one of my relatives. It turns out the real story, though, is that the killing was done not by General Morgan in combat, but by a David Morgan who was a homesteader and surprisingly a Quaker. He saw an Indian crossing the land that he had claimed, so he shot him. Another Indian appeared out of the woods, and Morgan won the ensuing knife fight but was injured. Morgan's friends removed the skin from the two men, tanned them, and they were used to produce various kinds of trinkets. One piece of that skin was used as this book cover. A Dr. William Barnes owned the book. He gave it to his son, the Reverend Reason Barnes, and he much later donated it to the brand new Iliff School of Theology in September of 1893. As you heard Dr. Tinker say, the man on the couch in the video clip, the book remained on display at the school for 81 years until 1974. Here again, Dr. Tinker, who served as professor at Iliff for more than 30 years.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't clearly state that it was students at Iliff who raised the issue. I guess the students called the American Indian Movement, who didn't know about this book at all, as they went through the process of trying to convince the president of Iliff back then to do something about returning that cover to Indian people. The American Indian Movement came and got the cover of the book in 1974. But Iliff, in its infinite Christian loving wisdom, swore aim to a non-disclosure agreement, a written NDA, that they couldn't talk about it. And Jemison Jones, the president at Iliff, insisted on a non-disclosure agreement in order to protect Iliff in terms of its fundraising potential. That's immoral and unethical. But he did it. Christians have two words for it that we don't have in any Indian language. It was evil, and it was sinful.
In 1974, I was president of the Iliff League, the student body organization at the school. So I felt that I had a forum in which to raise this issue of the book in and beyond the school. So I brought the issue of the book and the cover to a monthly student body meeting, and the students voted to back me in moving forward. So I looked up the American Indian Movement in the Denver phone book and simply placed a phone call. Before long, two representatives of AIM, American Indian Movement, came out to see the book and the cover that they had known nothing of. The men from AIM wanted to take away the Lenape Indian skin for a proper service and a burial. But that began a time of intense emotions. The school at last had to deal with the atrocity that had been on display for 81 years. The board of directors called an emergency meeting. The president blamed a student for causing the trouble. He and the board were afraid the issue would become terrible publicity, cause fundraising trouble, primarily, and deny the school this trophy possession it has held since 1893. I learned the board of directors would decide what to do on May 31 in an emergency meeting, and there wasn't time for another student body gathering. So I wrote a letter to the school president calling for the board to relinquish the skin and take full responsibility. It was that letter that you saw briefly in that video clip, the last clip, along with some quotes from it. I typed that letter in my study, Carol, in the library, one floor below the book. Two other students and I delivered the letter to the president's office that day, the day before the board meeting. We were not allowed into the office. The president took the letter at the door and shut the door. On May 31, 1974, the board, after looking at several other courses of action, reluctantly decided to relinquish the Indian skin book cover to the representatives of the American Indian Movement. On July 1, it was handed over. I thought the long and terrible story was now about over. The skin was now in the proper hands, and I thought the school had owned up to what it had done. It turns out I was wrong.
The school was founded in 1892. Iliff School of Theology is a progressive theological school. It is affiliated with the United Methodist Church. We are expected to be very inclusive. Our student body reflects many different faith traditions, some 30 different traditions. I'm Thomas Wolfe. I'm the president and CEO of Iliff School of Theology. I learned about the book long before I came to Iliff. I learned about the book in 1996. The General Conference of the United Methodist Church happened to be held in Denver. A word was spreading across the floor of the General Conference because there was a knowledge that there was some book at Iliff with the skin of a Native American person as its cover. Just the idea of a book covered with the skin of a Native American person was profoundly disturbing. You don't have to be affiliated with the school to feel that. It's part of a long history of violation of Native peoples in this country. When I first was named president, I was presented with a file marked confidential. And I looked through that file, and it was collections of newspaper articles, a little card, which even described what the cover was about.
Did you catch that, the date, 1996? I thought the school had owned up to its actions back in 1974. But no, it turns out the representatives of the American Indian Movement kept their word after signing the non-disclosure agreement, and the school buried the story. The whole history of the Iliff book was still covered up, and history had not been dealt with. So here's what it is that had happened in 1996. The United Methodist Church held its quadrennial worldwide meeting in Denver that year. I was there doing radio news coverage of the two-week event on behalf of the United Methodist Communications Agency. On the floor of the assembly, when Don Messer, the then president of the seminary, was speaking from the podium to welcome everybody to Denver, protesters with banners appeared on the floor. They were allowed to air their concern, which was rumors of the existence of the Iliff book. The school president said he hadn't heard of it, and he pledged to check it out that night and come back and talk with the people the next day. So I caught up with him on his way out of the hall and told him about the book and what had happened in 1974. He asked me to write it all up and send the account to him. When I got back to New Hampshire, I wrote up the full story and sent it. I couldn't believe it. After all that we'd done in 1974, the story of the book was still not known, still covered up. 1996, I thought, it was finally out in the open. The school was finally dealing with it. Wrong again. We'll jump now to 2014. The Iliff School of Theology originally was part of the University of Denver, which surrounds it, and the university was planning its sesquicentennial, 150th year celebration of the school in 2014. So a historian from the university was looking through all of the materials and trying to find historical highlights of the school when he ran into a file he knew nothing about. He called me up and he said he found a file on some book covered with the skin of an Indian, and he said he found the letter I had written to the school president. And he did. That's it. That came out of those files. 1974, the letter I wrote to the school president. And then he found the letter that I sent to the other school president in 1996. And he asked me what that was all about because they didn't know. So now 40 years after the first letter and 18 years after the second one, he tells me nobody knows about the book. The cover-up had continued all those years. This time, someone would finally take up the issue. Dr. Tink Tinker, a Native American and professor at Iliff, who you've just seen on the screen, had been complicit in that cover-up, too. He didn't want to be, but back in 1985, it turns out, another professor had quietly told him about the existence of the book. So Tink went into the library on a Sunday morning, as he said, all those Christians were all off at church on Sunday. So he went to the library and smudged the library. He knew he could never go in there without using smoke to cleanse the remnant bad spirits as well as he could. And then he stayed quiet too. He had to keep his job. He did consider quitting and leaving. But now, after word got out in 2014, Tink began to make noise. He called me and asked everything that I knew. He called the librarians. We talked several times. He got access to the records of the board of directors. He researched the Iliff book all the way back to Morgantown, and he began to publish papers about it, three of them so far. Finally, leadership took responsibility. The president at that time, who you've seen, Tom Wolfe, proposed talks with the elders of the Lenape Nation. It took a while. They finally met in April of 2022, just 2 years ago.
So we met at the Four Winds American Indian Center in Denver to have a discussion that framed our intention and purpose, and that gave us an opportunity to put together a statement of, called the Statement of Guidance and Direction to Iliff. We know the story about this book, and the school wants to hear from us, well, what should we do with it? To be able to say they have counseled with elders who are descendants of the individual who had been murdered and whose skin was part of that book.
We decided a list of insistencies, demands, conditions, however you want to describe it, of what we want Iliff to do to bring some kind of dramatic change to how this book was hidden as a secret and at one point was seen as the trophy of the university and its contradiction to Christianity and Lenape people.
The elders gathered in Denver from all across the U.S. and Canada, getting together themselves first and creating the requests that they had of the school, including to create a permanent relationship with the Lenape elders, to establish a professorship, that job to be determined by the Lenape elders, create a memorial, a traveling display about that original Lenape man, create an interpretive center at the school to educate Indians and non-Indians on the truths of American history as it pertains to indigenous nations and the people of Turtle Island. The next video clip begins with a graphic showing the traditional lands occupied by the Lenape people, much of it in the Hudson River Valley. Speaking is Curtis Zuniga, the chief of the Lenape Nation.
It's important that Iliff School at least listen to us and try to take steps in a new and better direction, because they bear the responsibility of not only accepting this book in the year 1893, knowing that the tanned skin of a murdered Lenape Indian man was a part of it, which to me is still antithetical to some Christian teachings in the Bible. And it's important that Iliff recognizes that they became complicit in the colonial domination and the racism against what Thomas Jefferson called in the Declaration of Independence. He called us merciless savages.
The book represents Christianity, the history of Christianity, but it represents the domination and conquest of people, the domination and conquest of land, grandmother, the domination and conquest of grandfather, the water, and eventually the domination and conquest of air itself.
After creating the list of actions they wanted to see accomplished, the elders met with the school officials for 2 days in April of 2 years ago. And I can report now, with the story out in the open, the Iliff School of Theology finally took it seriously. They began to work on acquiring stone from the area of Morgantown, West Virginia, to build a memorial to the murdered man on the school grounds in Denver. They began preparation to turn part of the school library into the Lenape Room, where truth will be honored, history will be taught, and new relationships will be developed. And a new course has been created informing all incoming students of the Iliff book and the lessons learned. By last April, when they met again, changes were evident.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We gathered together 1 year after our first gathering in 22 our Council of Lenape Elders that are in an ongoing relationship now with the Iliff School of Theology.
They're trusting us, and we want to be in relationship, and that means we share information of what's going on about these recommendations and guidelines that they have presented to us and that we have accepted formally.
This is a statement of guidance and direction for the Iliff School of Theology to accomplish the following.
The first recommendation, which was to establish a permanent relationship with the Lenape elders, has been incorporated into their bylaws by appointing a board officer to be the ongoing liaison.
So it's a structural change, and one of that person's primary responsibilities is to be the steward of that relation, of the relationship with the elders. That's a significant thing that we've done.
I see a deep commitment on the part of the Iliff School, and people are going to make certain that they work hard at the relationship to make sure that it continues and is maintained over time.
And I just deeply appreciate how much time and effort you folks have put into the incremental movement forward to what we know will be a very long and sustained and beautiful relationship.
Sometimes it takes a lot of precious time. 245 years after those two men were killed, 131 years after the book was donated to the school, 50 years after the skin was given to the American Indian Movement, the school and the Lenape Nation are close to feeling a mutual respect. The Lenape elders finally see some accomplishment. They actually feel some hope.
I did hear Lenape people saying that this is one of the most meaningful times, and as far as non-Native people actually listening for a change and listening in a very deep and meaningful way. So that's a big part of the human relationship that needs to be established and maintained.
We are a feeling people. We think and we feel. And for so long, we've been ignored. And I'm just so grateful and yet still in disbelief that somebody like Iliff wants, actually sincerely wants to listen to us.
There are still remaining effects of what happened back then. And to have a sense of appreciation and accomplishment and hope to keep moving forward helps combat the historical and generational trauma that our people still carry today.
The school has yet another new president, Reverend Dr. Lee Butler, who wrote a couple of weeks ago, "In the spring of 2023, Iliff made a series of commitments to the elders of the Lenape, emerging out of conversations and consultation regarding the Iliff book. A covenant was made to find a way forward through confession, repentance, and conciliation. I join Iliff with a commitment to see that the covenant made between willing hearts is fulfilled." There are many more details involved in the length of this story, and it's just one story out of so many. The story incorporates terrible lows and genuinely significant highs. It includes terrible inhumanity. It includes the knowledge that the original wrong can never be made right. And it includes an effort to do the best that can be done. It includes a lot of people making a sincere effort. The story is a lesson. I played small parts several times, and my efforts alone accomplished nothing. But combined with the efforts of others, they were all important. I think it's a lesson in trying to do something that might help. Who knows? It might help. The Methodists of Colorado have some other issues in their past. One is that Colonel John Shivington, a Methodist lay pastor, was the commander of the 675 men, the 3rd Colorado Cavalry, the man who led the raid on the Indian women and children at the Sand Creek Massacre in 1864. The United Methodists have been trying to address that atrocity in just the past 5 or 6 years. And the Morgan family, I'm told, still gathers for reunions in Morgantown, West Virginia. As of a couple of years ago, they still gathered at the monument erected where their ancestor murdered 2 Indians, and they honored their ancestors' bravery. So many stories, so many atrocities, how many efforts at conciliation. But it begins with listening. It begins with searching out the truth. It starts to make a difference when descendants get together with sincerity and caring, seeking a way forward. I think the terrible story of the Iliff book is a win. It's a win. May there be many more. And thank you for listening to the story of the Iliff book.